I'm sure we would all admit whenever we sing that song, Jesus Loves Me, it just kind of makes you smile, right? It just makes you feel a little bit young again. And I know usually kids request that, but you know, we ought to request that a little bit more. It's just a wonderful song. I just had a few thoughts out of Hebrews chapter 10. A little bit extending on what my lesson was on this last Sunday morning. We're talking about the reason Jesus came. Wonderful, powerful thought, because in that lesson, of course, we talked about he came to bring us pardon. And what we see here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews is really a plea to see his purpose in coming, really. And when we get to this second part in verses 5 through 7, we're going to see a quote from Psalm 40. Psalm 40 about verses 6 through 8. And in that, it's talking about Jesus coming basically fulfills God's purpose, God's will on this earth. And that's what the psalmist was writing about. And so the writer here in Hebrews is saying, hey, don't you remember that? That's why Jesus came. So, you know, I think it's okay in a secular sense for us to, you know, exchange presents and all that on Christmas Day. That's great. But I also think it's a good thing at this time of the year to really remember the birth of Christ. And we all know, we don't know when exactly he was born and all that, but you know, I don't think it's wrong that we have a day picked out, especially, say, yeah, I want to sit and consider the powerful meaning of God coming in the flesh. And so I think Hebrews 10 really highlights why he came. Kind of like in the sermon, I said, you know, Christmas isn't about saying, ooh, what a sweet baby in a manger, and leave it at that. You know, there's more to it. You know, his reason for coming is he needed to die in our law place. And that's what the writer hears. He's kind of building up. And he gets to the end of this chapter, and he's talking about not giving up on your faith. Right? Because that's part of the issue throughout the book of Hebrews. He's laying down an argument. Don't give up on your faith. Let me tell you why. Right, so he's built a wonderful argument throughout the book, and it seems to almost hit a crescendo here in chapter 10. And so this first part, and we're not going to read it all. I don't want to make this a full-length sermon. But if you look at verses 1 through 4 especially, you know, Jesus died to give you a purpose. And that's really what verses 1 through 4 is all about when you look at the text here. And you know that he died to give you direction, really, I think is a good way, right? He died as that perfect sacrifice. Now you get to start over, right? You get a walk in newness of life because of that. And like I mentioned earlier, the second part, really verses 5 through 10, if you look at this, Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to save humanity. You know, that's what all of the Old Testament's about, right? God made a promise because we had a sin problem. The Redeemer's coming. The Redeemer's here in the New Testament. And so the Hebrew writer, as he's going to develop towards the end of the chapter especially, you know, don't give up, right? And many times we give up on our faith because we become weak in our faith because we forget our purpose. We forget the purpose that he came, right? So times like this, you know, this time of the year, right, this, you know, use it to refresh your purpose when you remember the purpose of Jesus came. You know, take it as a wonderful a time of reminder, right? And so, and we're going to read a few verses here in a moment. Verses 11 through 18, Christ's promised sacrifice. When he offered himself on the cross, what he did was he delivered the means to save us, right? And that's what verses 11 through 18 is all about, especially verse 12. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's why he came. God's promise fulfilled. We need to be thankful for that, and that's going to help us, of course, not give up on our faith. And I'll just note here real quick, verse 16 is a quote from Jeremiah 31:31-33. The prophet of old, Jeremiah, talk about the coming new covenant in the church, right? And so he's saying that Christ is a fulfillment of that. And then next year, verses 19 through 25, we probably know it all very well. The three let us statements here, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider one another. Verse 25, don't forsake the assembly, right? See, I'm not going to forsake the assembly if I truly understand the purpose Jesus came. And so we have that wonderful passage. Then we get kind of a warning here, something that ought to kind of shake us a little bit if we're being weak in our faith. If you look at verse 26-31, listen, we can lose that salvation, right? And experience that fearful expectation of judgment. And verse 27, that reminder of how much worse a punishment do you suppose it'll be, right? If you trample underfoot the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant. Verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hand of the living God. So in all of this, right, he said, remember the end. Right? If you're tempted to give up because you're not focusing on the purpose in which Christ came and you forgot your purpose, understand the consequences. So there's a warning in this. But then we get in this last part right here, verse 32-39. I do want to read this, and then we'll offer the Lord's invitation. So Hebrews 10, beginning verse 32, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. So remember what you were before you learned about Jesus, before you obeyed the gospel, right? Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now, kind of a side note, this is why I think this is Paul that wrote this. Talk about being in chains and all that. That's not the point. In other words, saying, hey, you went through a lot in obeying the gospel, right? You gave up a lot. You went through a great struggle in that. So then in verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. So he's quoting Habakkuk 2:4 there. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then he builds into that great chapter of faith in chapter 11. By faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so just keep that chapter in mind if you're ever losing focus, or if you ever want to slow down and remember your purpose, right? Christ died to give you a purpose. And I think times like this is Christmas season, right? That's excellent time to meditate on those things and remember our purpose, remember our calling. If you're here this evening and you are subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you with that. If you've done that, you got distracted maybe along the way, you lost your way, you're ready to start over, you need to be reconciled back to God, we'd love to help you with that. Or if you just need strength or courage from the church, let us know and we'll help you in whatever it is. Just let someone know as we stand, as we sing.